High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Morning Quarterback. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Dutchess Restaurants, fresh food, served fast. The regular season is over and it's playoff time, finally. We finished up the regular season on Wednesday night and Thursday with our holiday football games, which set the playoff picture in focus. And incredibly, the FCAC has nine of their 16 teams are going to be participating in the state playoffs, which begin on Tuesday. We're going to have two rematches of Thursday's rivalry games, Darien, New Canaan, and Greenwich and Staples. If you liked it once, you're going to love them twice in 5 days. Have a good show for you. We're going to have two players. We're going to talk a little bit about the Darien, New Canaan rivalry, but really have them on for other reasons in talking to them. We're going to have Ryan Gately from the Darien football team, who is tied for the state lead in sacks and I think is underrated for someone who might be the best defensive player in the FCAC, and I guess you can make the case for the state as well. And then also we're going to have New Canaan running back Henry Stein, who might be, through my travels, one of the most interesting players in the league. And not just because the fact he's among the state rushing leaders, but he is a TikTok star. He gets on some of his TikToks over a million views. He's really creative. And his career goals are also kind of the road less traveled for a high school football player. So I thought, after getting to know him a little bit, you would all enjoy him as well. So we will talk to the two of them later. But as we look at Thanksgiving football and ahead to the state playoffs, my co-host is always Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good. You know, Norcai got a nice win. You know, ate way too much as normal. But, yeah, it was a great Thanksgiving. How was yours?
It was good. As always, Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday, and we have to. I always end up having to work till about 4 o'clock, between covering games and then writing and editing stories. And I'm not complaining about that. You know what you signed up for, and I love what I do. But I kind of, you know, my sister-in-law does an unbelievable job, and I'm taking from the living room. I'm loading up on some shrimp and some prosciutto and crackers, and I'm bringing them into the other room where I write from. So I don't get to fully enjoy the holiday right away, but it was good. It's also a little weird because you got the long weekend, but with the football games starting on Tuesday and wanting to get all the preview stuff up on Monday, it means a little weekend work.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Definitely up there with my favorite holidays. You know, to me, Thanksgiving kicks off the true holiday season. But with all the football on, you know, following the FCAC, you know, all right, this team won, Darien lost. I'm like, all right, did they get in? Then you see they get in. You know, it's a very exciting day too.
What, when you were coaching, what was your holiday up? You're up, pretty early, and how long was your day until you got to start enjoying, all the holiday festivities?
It all depends. It all depends on if we collect equipment right after the game or not, you know? So if we did not collect equipment right after the game, you know, we'd be home not late at all. But if we collected equipment, you know, and stuff like that, it was a little stressful on the wives waiting for us to get home, I can tell you that.
Hey, before I go over the tournament pairings, I noticed something while I was working on previews yesterday, and certainly in case he's listening, I think we messed up a little bit when we're talking about the best quarterbacks in the league. We kind of forgot about Charlie Calabrese.
Yeah, you know, that is true. That is true. You know, Charlie, if you are listening, it's not a knock.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the two Fairfield kids,
I think we were talking about the best passing quarterbacks, really.
Yeah, yeah. And then it just led into the two Fairfield kids because they were playing each other. And I just happened to see James Delville play the week before. But, yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie's an all-FCAC quarterback and is rightfully in the discussion. And you know, it's just because he runs the ball so much as well as throws it, he brings a different dynamic to what Love and Della Volpe do, but he's certainly in the conversation. And I'm going through and I'm working on the Wilton preview yesterday, and I said, boy, we omitted him. So I wanted a right or wrong in terms of the discussion for best quarterback. So before we get into Thanksgiving, Sean, let me go over the brackets for anybody that may not have seen them. And in Double L, we're going to have Turkey Bowl Part 2 5 days later. I don't know if we call this the Chicken Bowl or the, I don't know what we call it, the Reheated Bowl. Reheated Bowl may be good. New Canaan playing Darien. And also, I'm sorry, we're in Class L, yeah. This is the one where we have four schools. Ridgefield beat Danbury on Thanksgiving Eve, and they qualified, and they'll play Newtown. That's the 7-2 game. And then Fairfield Ludlow beat Fairfield Ward, and they're going to meet Cheshire in my eyes, what's the most interesting in terms of competitive of the first round games involving FCAC schools. In Double L, as we mentioned, Danbury last week had already clinched, and they're the 7th seed. First time in the playoffs in 22 years, and they get the road trip to Fairfield Prep. And then if you like Greenwich Staples the first time, you get to see them again in the 3-6 game in Greenwich. Then we're going to pop over. We only have the two teams that really are going to have a state experience all throughout because they're the only FCAC teams in their division. In Double M, Wilton is the number 2 seed. And they're going to host Torrington, the 7th seed. And in Class M, St. Joseph, the 1st seed. And they're going to play WCA, the 8th seed. Sean, I asked you this on the ride over. You have a city rivalry game. Whether you won or lost the game, and I don't know if being on one side or the other affects the answer to this, would you want to have to play McMahon 5 days after playing him on Thanksgiving?
No, I would want to play somebody else. Win or lose, you know, I wish there was a way. I mean, you just got to go by the numbers, but I wish there was a way that you could just avoid playing in FCX, not just the FCX, you know, in your division, avoid playing somebody from within your division. Even if we beat McMahon, I would not want to play them a couple days later. If we lost to them, I wouldn't want to play them a couple days later. I want to play somebody different.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem, and this happens in all sports and more so in other sports, but you have 9 FCAC teams, and Wilton and St. Joseph are the only teams that aren't in L or double L. So they're the lone warriors in their classes. But, you know, when you have 4 teams in a class, it's almost impossible to avoid them. Yeah, that's sort of the—I don't want to say punishment, but that's sort of the quirk with having so many teams qualify. You can't avoid this, and you're going to have rematches. It's just really unfortunate that the two rematches we have come 5 days after they already played each other. You know, if you had a game where the two teams met in the first half of the season, that wouldn't be ideal either. But it would be more palatable, I think, than this situation for the 4 schools involved.
Absolutely. You know, it's just the fact that when they play, you know, their game plans are not going to change. You know, like you might throw in a wrinkle here and there, you know, but it's going to be nothing crazy, you know. And I'm not going to use the word boring, Dave, because it's not the right word, but they just spent 12 days preparing for each other already. You know what I mean? So now they're preparing for the same exact opponent again, all 4 teams. So it's a little redundant, I should say.
Yeah, we're not going to we're not going to have a lot of really good first round game. Again, I'm not going to go back to talking about the state playoff format, but it's set up so we have a lot of blowouts in the first round, and you know, people will be clamoring again, I think, come Wednesday morning after we see what happens on Tuesday. But I the thing is, Darien and Staples for their recent struggles and yeah, Staples is on a 4-game losing streak and they're 5-5. They're also been victimized by the fact that they played a lot of the top 4 schools in the league, and those are 4 of the top 6 teams in the state. So they would have a shot. They would be an underdog against some of the other teams in their class, but they would have a realistic shot of at least winning a first round game if they had a different matchup.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like, it's tough. You know what I mean? Like, you're seeing 5-5 teams in there. You know, it's just tough. But again, they wouldn't be 5-5 if they were playing in the SEC. They wouldn't be 5-5 if they're playing in the SWC. They just happen to play in the best league, you know, and they played all the good teams in the best league, you know. So if Staples or Darien, if they were not matched up with who they're matched up with, and I'm saying that it's not like they're going to lose, you know, they got to play the game, but like they would have a much better chance of advancing in the second round if they didn't have to play who they were playing.
And the other thing is both Staples and Darien are decided underdogs in the rematches as well. There weren't a lot of surprises. I think some people were surprised that Staples was up 19-13 on Greenwich at one point before Greenwich ran off the final 20 points of the games. But that's also the thing is, you know, if you just saw a 39-7 game, you want to see the two teams play again right away?
Yeah. It's tough, Dave. I don't want to see it.
I'll be interested when we get Ryan on. You know, that's one of the first questions is, you know, would you rather get a chance to avenge that loss against your biggest rival right away or roll the dice and play somebody else knowing maybe you won't get to play them again? Well, we'll have to ask him that one. But why don't we take a break here, and then we can do a quick review of the Thanksgiving games and then spend more time looking ahead to the playoffs. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back here, and Sean, I don't think we have to go game by game. It was it wasn't a real inspiring slate of games. The most competitive game, and I know when we talked yesterday, we want to make sure we gave them a shout-out, but the most competitive game was the Battle of Stamford, and Stamford on a field goal, we're not sure when it occurred, beat West Hill 17-14. I guess what makes that game a little bit more significant is Stamford was the last team without a win in the league. So for the first time in, I'm not sure how long it is, every team in the league has at least one win and at least had one day to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, a great win by Stamford. I'm almost positive, Dave. I did a little research. I'm pretty sure it was the last second field goal. If I mispronounce your name, I apologize. Leo Kantrowitz with a big kick to send Stamford into the win column. Great job by them. You know, every kid needs to experience a win. Every kid does during a season. The fact that they got to experience against their crosstown rival on Thanksgiving makes it that much sweeter.
Again, we didn't have a lot of great games. You know, we had Ridgefield beating Danbury. I watched the stream. I had a reporter there, and it wasn't a very exciting game, but it got Ridgefield back into the state playoffs, and Ridgefield and Danbury will both be there Tuesday. Again, just because of playoff significance, Ludlow's 35-2 win over Ward on 5 Liam Bond touchdowns. Bond has 9 touchdowns in the last 2 games. And then New Canaan 39-7 win over Darien, but Darien got enough bonus points to get themselves into the playoffs. And, you know, if you're going to have 48 teams, are you saying, if you're asking, is Darien one of the top 48 teams? Definitely so. And even if you look at classes, yeah, they're probably the top of the second tier in the FCAC, along with Ludlow and Staples. So they got themselves in. Anything, I don't know how much time you want to really spend on this, but is there anything that really stood out to you?
No, it was pretty much status quo. You know, when I was at the Narc McMahon game, you know, I was on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, and I was just keep doing updates. And I was looking, I'm like, man, Staples is hanging in there. And then Greenwich kind of pulled away at the end. So that was the only one. You know, St. Joe's rolled over Trumbull. You know, I thought St. Joe's is the better team. You know, I thought Trumbull would try to keep it competitive. Not that they didn't try. You know what I mean? They would keep it a little bit competitive at some point. But that wasn't necessarily the case. But, yeah, that's it. Nothing crazy over Thanksgiving.
I will say for Trumbull's future, and it was a really tough year, some of it added because of their strength of schedule, and they were one of the victims of a new schedule that needs a little bit of fine-tuning, but mostly did what it was devised to do. But I have friends who coach in the youth football, Fairfield County youth football, and they all agree Trumbull won, I forget which grade level. It might be the eighth grade level. But Trumbull apparently has the best youth players, according to two people I know in two different towns. And it sounds like help is on the way for Mars over there.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now the you know, are they going to go to Trumbull High? That's the next question. Are they going to go to Joe's? Are they going to go to Fairfield Prep? Where, you know, if they all go to, because I do know a couple of kids on that team. One of my good friend's son's on the team. If they stick together, obviously they got to get stronger and they got to hit the weight room and all that stuff. But if they stick together, that team is going to be very, very good in the next couple of years.
Well, we like seeing the wealth spread. I don't think we need to spend any more time on the Thanksgiving games. I was at Darien, New Canaan. They had a really good crowd there. It's a great place to be. And Darien hung with them for a quarter and had a couple of big plays that they couldn't capitalize on. But New Canaan once in a while will give up the big play. But the thing is, so many times that big play doesn't translate into points. Just they it seems to happen in the middle of the field, and they come up with a way to get a stop. And if it happens later in the game, New Canaan's leading by so much that the other team's got to go for a touchdown. But Maddox Hoffman, who really has come on, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks over the second half of the season. I think he's completing 66% of his passes. But he had three touchdown passes, and he actually, and I don't know if you saw this play, I got the video and put it on social media, but it almost looked exactly like a play the Giants ran last week against Detroit, where Jameis Winston caught a touchdown pass, and they did a double pass in the backfield, and Quinn Jennings, the backup quarterback, hits Hoffman, who runs down and then absolutely runs over a Darien player on the goal line for a touchdown. Did you happen to see that play?
Yeah, I saw that play. Man, that thing was designed. Whenever I see a play like that, Dave, I'll rewatch it a bunch of times just to see, like, pretty much just watch what every single player does. That was so well designed. The whole Darien defense was running towards the quads formation, and the quarterback was literally just standing there by himself. And when he caught the ball, he just had five linemen, yeah, big guys in front of him. It's like, all right, as soon as he caught it, you knew it was a touchdown. And then give Darien Kidd credit. He did at the end get in there, but then he ran him over. He did what he needed to do to get into the end zone.
Yeah. I can't remember the lineman who it was. It's number 59 who makes the key block that gets Hoffman down to the goal line, and he does the rest. But the funny thing is, I guess they run that all the time, and it never works in practice, apparently. Yeah. And Lou just said, I just decided for whatever reason to go for it, and it worked out.
A lot of reasons why a trick play or something doesn't work that well in practice is because the defense knows it's coming. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, like, we'd run a play. We would say, all right, defense, act dumb here. You know what's coming, act dumb. But they're kids. They see the ball. They want to go. So, it was so well executed by all 11 people. Even the front three receivers blocking, the receiver dragging across, bringing the safety with him. It was just a perfectly well-drawn play and executed perfectly.
Would you be better off in practice running that play without a defense?
Yeah, you could. You could,
just basically get your timing down, and then when you're at the line of scrimmage, if you see something that makes you think the play's not going to work, check out of it?
Yeah. You could do that, because, everybody wears wristbands now. So, we would call a play on offense, and you see our defenders looking at the wristband like, guys, come on, stop.
To me, that would just be if the defense knows it's coming and it's going to disrupt the play, why run it with the defense? Because really, you want to get your timing down for the play to work.
Right. But hey, it worked on Thursday.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break momentarily. Double L, we're going to have Greenwich Staples. I don't know what more we have to really, it's part two, and can Staples defense stop Greenwich?
I don't think so. I just don't. I just think with an offense that Greenwich runs, on a short week, they're playing in a couple days already. You know what's coming. Just try to stop it. I just think they're going to wear them down. I think Greenwich is going to pull this one off.
All right. Well, while we take a break here and say a couple more words on it on the other side, and we'll continue to break things down, and we'll also have Ryan Gately of Darien coming up. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school football action. Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and we've been talking a lot about the Darien-New Canaan game, and joining me, I don't know if you could call somebody underrated who's a strong candidate for FCAC Defensive Player of the Year, but Ryan Gately probably does not get the attention that he warrants. He's tied for the lead in sacks in the state, which I didn't realize until yesterday, and he joins us right now. Ryan, how you doing? Ryan? Looks like we're having a little problem with the phones right now. Ryan, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, the question I'm most curious about, we've been talking about it, is it's so hard. League teams you want to go outside the league and feel like you're having a real state playoff experience, but you're also coming off a loss to your biggest rival. Are you happy that you're playing New Canaan again right away, or would you rather play somebody that you're not familiar with?
That's a good question. I would say I'm happy I get to play them again because it's just such a big rivalry. It's always really fun to play those guys because, you're playing a high-level team. It's really good competition. And it's playing them at their place. It's always fun because they're always going to pack it out. So energy's high. So I wouldn't say glad that we're playing them because they're obviously a really good team, but I'm looking forward to playing them again.
I'd much rather have it, though, ideally like it was if you could be guaranteed the last 2 years where you lost them on Thanksgiving but got another crack at them again in the state final and played really two competitive championship games with them.
Yeah. Obviously, losing those games are hard, but getting a guaranteed chance at them again, it's kind of relieving. It's always fun to play these guys, and getting the chance to redeem ourselves from Thanksgiving is a great opportunity.
What was it like right after the game? You knew you needed a little bit of help with bonus points. Are you guys all running to your phones trying to see what the final point totals are and whether you qualified or not?
Yeah, pretty much. We had we were hearing things on the sideline towards the end of the game. They had it up at halftime, the score, actually. So we kind of had an idea what was going on, but the first reaction was just if we are in, we knew we were going to be eighth, and just how can we get back, regroup, and try to attack this next game as best as we can.
How do you judge the regular season? You had a tough time against the real elite teams in the league this year, and you ran the table on everybody else. How, you know, if you kind of had to grade the season to date, how do you look at it?
Ooh, if I had to grade it, I would say we obviously have high expectations, want to go 1-0 every week. We didn't, you know, fulfill the expectations that we set in ourselves. But all that matters is we made it to the playoffs and we played these games. So I'd give us like a C range. I feel like we're obviously disappointed, couldn't take some of those big games like we wanted to. But we made it this far, so we're going to make the most of it.
6-4, you're just not used to in Darien, but you, and it's old news, but it's not, but you've lost a lot of players, and then you lost Ben Rolapp, who arguably would have been the best quarterback in the state, certainly in the FCAC this year, and you lost Hergett, wide receiver. Well, now that you look back on playing it out, did that hurt you even more than maybe you thought it would?
I thought we were put in a tough situation, because going into the year, we thought we were going to have those guys coming back, but, it was just a tough situation. I thought we responded to it relatively well. But it obviously hurts. Those two guys are great players, obviously. Like, it obviously will help to have the players with the most experience, but I think the players that were put in the position to replace them did a really good job.
Chase Lane's certainly has come on in a tough situation, taking over at starting quarterback a little before the midway mark. How about your season? And you guys don't have your stats on Max Props or your full stats, and I saw you had 7 sacks on Max Props, and that seemed low, and so I texted your coach, and he said you have 15 sacks, which is tied for first in the state. But what about, I know you're a team player first, but you have to be real happy with the way you've played this year, especially because you get double teamed, maybe triple teamed so much.
Yeah, I'm good with it. Obviously, there's some games where I wish I could have played better, but you know, the numbers, they look good, but it's not perfect. There's definitely some things I could still improve on. But, yeah, I would say I'm not disappointed with it, but I feel like it could have been – there's still room for improvement, and we still have I still have time to still, like, make bounds and play better. So,
you're the kind of kid who's never going to be satisfied either. You're never – you know, you could have 25 sacks, and you're going to remember the play that cost you 26 or something.
Well, yeah.
You also play on the offensive line, so, yeah. I was thinking about this because you talk about two-way players and how exhausting it is, but it's even more exhausting if you're on the line and going two ways. And you know, there are a lot of schools where a lot of linemen have to do that. How tiring is that for you, having to go both ways?
It definitely is tiring. It's a completely like new experience for me. The past 3 years, I've been just defense, but it's physically and mentally tiring because defense, it's normally like I need to just know which gap I'm going to and then obviously just go to it. But offense, I need to think a lot more like next level blocking and like protection slide. So it makes my brain work more, but it's definitely physically tiring, but I'm put in the position. He did a lot of off-season training. The conditioning was a big emphasis that Coach Grant made for us. And it's paying off a lot right now. So,
does it hurt you just slightly? Because I don't know how it couldn't in terms of playing defense.
I'd say yeah. It's not a lot, but there's some plays where I feel like no. I don't think it hurts a lot. I don't think it hurts too much. I feel like defense, I'm obviously more energetic because I'm more used to it. Sometimes offense, I like will be hesitant on something because I think too much, but defense, I feel like I'm all good energy-wise.
You go against New Canaan again Tuesday, and I was at the game on Thanksgiving, and you guys were competitive with them for you know, the first quarter. First quarter ended 8-0, and New Canaan's touchdown came on a short pass over the middle that Ryan Brooks was able to outrace the defense and take for a 66-yard score. But you guys hit a big play or two, and maybe if you want to say where it got away was maybe in the first quarter where you weren't able to score at all.
I think we just left a lot out there. We watched the game back and just watching some of the things that we missed on both sides of the ball. It's just a couple plays that we wish we could get back, and I feel like it would be a completely different ball game. They're obviously a tough team, and you can't make a lot of mistakes, if any, to be in a game with them. And that showed. We made one too many mistakes, and it got out of hand.
Is that basically been the theme these past few days as you get ready for the rematch? More what you didn't do? And obviously, New Canaan's a great team. They're number one in the state for a reason. But what do you see as being the keys to the game? What are you going to have to do differently to get the win?
We got to play more physically. And when adversity strikes, we have to face it head on. That's been a big emphasis. It's just when we get hit in the face, we got to hit them back instead of letting them keep just piling it on. And just facing adversity is really what's been preached to us a lot these past few days.
I don't think this will come any surprise to listeners who've heard you here for the past 10 minutes, but you're going to Air Force next year. We see mm-hmm. a lot of good athletes, football and lacrosse players, that are going to Army and Navy. Not as many, but some with the Air Force. What led you to decide on going there?
Just built a great relation with the coaches. It's a lot of great guys, great people over there. And it's a phenomenal education, once-in-a-lifetime experience going to an academy like that. And the thing I always thought about is I feel like if I went anywhere else, I would always kind of have like a feeling that of just regret missing out on the an academy experience. So that was a big factor for me. But overall, just the coaches, I built great relationships with them, and I'm just really excited to the next step of my life going off to college. So,
well, Ryan, you've had a great year. You've had a tremendous career, and I've gotten to know you a little bit better than some of the other players. And as you came across here, you're a really good guy. So, congratulations on the year you've had, and I'll be there again on Tuesday. I wish you and the team the best of luck against New Canaan in the rematch, and thanks for taking a little bit of time here to talk with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. That was Ryan Gately. We're going to take a break, and Sean and I will come back and talk about the state playoff pairings a little bit more. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rooten Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back. Sean, I know you, we had a little bit of phone issues. I'm not sure what happened. So you bounced off a little bit there, but like I said, he's as impressive a guy as he is a football player.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened either. I thought maybe his calling in was booting me off the line. So I heard the last half of it, and he just seems like a great kid.
We say it all the time, but it's true. I mean, I know it's maybe we say it ad nauseum, but we just get really good kids on there. We get to cover really, really top people besides top football players.
That's true.
So, all right, we touched on Greenwich Staples. It's kind of hard to believe that Staples Staples could finish under 500. Even still making the state playoffs. And, I think Adam Behrens left for New Mexico, and Adam Behrens was just known from his work as IMG as a quarterback whisperer and all the work he did with quarterbacks. And I think that was underappreciated maybe. I don't know that people really realized how good a quarterback coach he is. And I think we've seen that a little bit this year.
Yeah. Adam, he was one of the best. He was very innovative. You know, he was good from the start. Staples had a tough road. They lost their last four games. Only one of them really competitive was the Lugo game. So they don't win on Tuesday. You know, when was the last time Staples had a five-game losing streak? I bet you you're going to have to go back to maybe the 90s to find that one.
I doubt they did that when Mars was there. We may be going back to the pre-Mars years.
Yeah, I would almost guarantee that.
For a five-game losing streak. I'll see. I don't know if I want to venture that far back, but maybe a little work for later today. The second double L game, Fairfield Prep and Danbury, and a nice job by Danbury getting into the playoffs. But Fairfield Prep, I saw them week one against Greenwich. That's going to be a tough matchup for them.
Yeah, you know, one, I'm happy that they're playing a non-FCS school. I really
absolutely
am. Just to see. Okay, let's just see. You know, Prep is a high level team. You know, they're a top team in the state, but Danbury is very good. So let's just see how they stack up. I hate to say this, Augie, I love you. You know how much I love you. I'm giving you Fairfield Prep here, but you know, I think Danbury has a puncher's chance.
Yeah, we're gonna have to see. I'm really happy they avoided, say, Greenwich.
Yeah,
they want to test themselves. They already know they're in a really good league, and they know how tough the league is. Let them get a chance to speak for the league and see what they can do against Fairfield Prep. I don't think anybody's going to give them a chance. So they're playing with house money. And, you've been in situations like this where you were the big underdog. I'm guessing just let it fly and see what happens.
Yeah, we always use the term weather the storm. If you talk to any of my former players, they know exactly what that means. You know, right now, Fairfield Prep's coming in here like, all right, thank God we got Danbury. I'm telling you, that's what they're thinking right now. So make it a game. You know, just stay within that touchdown. Stay within a touchdown in the second half, and just watch them start panicking. You know, and then when it comes to the fourth quarter, let it go. You know, so just keep it a game, keep it close. You know, and watch them start panicking.
Let's bounce over to Class L, and I don't know what more we need to say about New Canaan Darien, but from an argument, New Canaan's going to win as a heavy favorite, their semifinal opponent will be Weaver Hartford Public or ATI.
Yeah, whoever wins on Tuesday between New Canaan and Darien, you're in the finals. I'm sorry. This goes back to what I've been saying, Dave, for years. You know, it's not a knock on Weaver Hartford, it's not a knock on ATI, but let them play in the Tech Co-op Championship League. Like, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, we don't. That's probably a running clock game.
Yeah,
you know, if you want to, you're worried about going to the game because you're going to miss some NFL football. You may get home for the second half of the 1 o'clock games. And this is what happened. And I really, really want to avoid the playoffs are here. We can talk about format afterwards. Now it's not really the right time, but it doesn't do anybody any good to have those kind of games, and we should be trying to. There are ways to avoid them. The most interesting game involving an FCAC team by far, and I'm really curious to see how this plays out, is Fairfield Ludlow going to Cheshire.
Yeah, Cheshire, if I remember, I think they just got beat pretty good on Thursday, on Thanksgiving.
Lost to Southington 31-0. Yeah. And lost to Wilton by a touchdown during the regular season.
Yeah. So I'm going with Ludlow. I really am. I think what Mitch does on offense, other teams put what Mitch does on offense along with a short preparation for them to prepare for them. You know, it puts Cheshire in a tough spot. It really does. I think Ludlow pulls this off.
I, not knowing Cheshire as well as I do FCAC schools, I think Ludlow's got a good shot, and a lot of it's for the same reason, is you're coming off a short week against an unfamiliar opponent, and Mitch's innovative and creative offense. I just think it's kind of like the running attack in North Haven whenever you had to play North Haven off a short week. And New Canaan did a few times. They're difficult to prepare for in the turnaround. And I think Ludlow, from a passing standpoint, is the same way. And Ludlow got into the playoffs for the first time ever last year, but they played Darien in the first round. And that was a tough make matchup for him. It was a better Darien team than the one this year. And again, they were going against an opponent that already knew them. So I don't know. That's, it was a hard choice because I could only have the staffing to cover four of the seven games and it's trying to decide. But the first one, you have to do the two games with two schools in them, two league schools. But right off the bat, the Ludlow Cheshire game, you have to cover. And, I'm just really intrigued by how they're going to do.
Yeah. I just have a feeling Ludlow does it. I really do. You know, I always say it's not fun playing against Mitch because you got to defend him four downs. If it's fourth and four from his own 20, he's going for it. You know, you kind of like it, but at the same time, it's stressful. And, you know, they convert more than they don't. I'm just going with Ludlow. I just have that feeling.
Cheshire's most impressive win and a very impressive win is they beat Daniel Hand. So they're the school that handed Daniel Hand a lot. I know Cheshire's really good, and again, I don't know enough about them where I could go into some sort of a deep analysis and breakdown, but I think Ludlow definitely has a chance to win this game. I in no way will be shocked if Ludlow is playing either Ridgefield or Newtown next Sunday.
I agree. I think they are going to do it.
And then speaking of Newtown Ridgefield, that is the other half of the Ludlow's bracket in Class L. Ridgefield gets into the state playoffs. I think it's the first time in 6 years. They hit a little bit of a lull. In terms of looking at some common opponents, New Canaan beat Newtown on the opening week of the season, 30-10. Newtown also beat Bunnell 24-0. New Canaan beat Bunnell, I think the score was 27-7. During the regular season. So I don't know. This is a tough spot for Ridgefield. Do they have enough to slow down Newtown?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Ridgefield's going to have to play their best game. You know, they played a real tight game with St. Joe's. You know, you know, they beat Danbury, who's in the playoffs. So they do have a couple tough ones on their resume, but I think it's in Newtown is not a fun place to play. You know, they got a nice home field advantage up there. I think Newtown wins this one.
Yeah, Newtown certainly is the heavy favorite there. We'll have to see what happens, but why don't we take another break here? On the other side, we'll finish up the state pairings, and we're going to talk to New Canaan's Henry Stein. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school football. It's Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back in final half hour of the show. We're talking state playoffs, and we're going to go back to the New Canaan-Darien game and get a New Canaan standpoint from someone who I've gotten to know a little bit over the last couple of weeks, not only a great football player, but probably one of the most interesting personalities in the league, and someone we could talk to for about an hour on eight different things, but we won't hold them that long. And that's the Rams star running back, Henry Stein. Henry, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for all that.
Ah, that's okay. We're gonna let everybody know that you're not a one-dimensional football player, but you're multi-talented. But let's the most important thing, and you know, people who saw the Turkey Bowl saw that you went down with an ankle injury, and I know everybody wants to know how you're doing.
I'm doing good, you know, just taking the injury day by day. Hope to be back soon and get to playing. But in the meantime, we got some great guys that can fill roles, so I think we'll be set.
How hard is it? You know, you hear you have an injury that's going to cause you to miss a game. Hopefully, no more. But Are you pondering just worst-case scenarios and not getting a chance to finish your senior year on the field?
You know, I'm not really thinking about that. I'm just, like I said, I'm taking it day by day, and hopefully I'll come back as soon as possible. That's really it.
I'm kind of curious, and I think it's different in a certain respect, having won the game, but you have to play now in 5 days, your biggest rival again. You just beat them convincingly on Thanksgiving. Do you like the fact that you're playing them again, or would you rather just see somebody outside the league?
You know, I think playing a rival twice is something that doesn't come very often, and I think it's going to be really fun, and they got a great team, and we also got a great team. We got a great game plan coming, so I'm really excited to see what happens. So,
a great game plan. We're going to see another pass to Maddox Hoffman.
that was a great play. Coach Nugent really threw that out, and we got really lucky there. That was a cool play call. I really liked it.
Is it true? Everybody was talking about that play never works in practice. That's been the case.
Yeah, no. In practice, we had to make our scout guys know we had to tell the scout guys to follow Quinn, who was throwing the ball. So yeah, because they never fell for it, and we're really glad that it worked this time. So.
That's interesting because Sean, my co-host, was the coach at Norwalk, and he said same thing. The reason plays don't work in practice, the defense knows what's coming. I said maybe you need to like work these plays without a defense and just execute the offensive part because the defense is more likely in practice to disrupt it.
Yeah, that's kind of what we did too. We did a lot of stuff with that play. Coach really wanted to run it. And it was really amazing seeing Quinn, who threw the ball, who was our backup quarterback, get really just hype and really hyped up all of our players. And it was just great seeing him have, you know, a play that we could just go to. And it was really fun seeing the reactions. It was great.
I want you to talk a little bit about the composition of the team as an insider, because we talk a lot about it from the media, but you got a shot to win. You got a shot to graduate with four state championships under your belt. And in so many ways, these teams have been similar, with the one driving characteristic being how close in the bond between the team and how it's really a team. There's an ensemble. There's no jealousy. There's nobody begrudging anybody their success. And it might sound trite, but it's really just all for one.
Yeah, I fully agree. We have such a good bond. I host like dinners for the linemen. I host dinner for the offense, and then Maddox will host for the linemen. And then like we'll have these like events where we'll bring each other together with food or activities, and that really just strengthens our bond. And it's also just our culture too. Just having that the mentality of like, you know, it's not just I. It's not just me. It's like us as a team. And it's really amazing how we don't center our offense or defense around one person. And we really like spreading the ball out. And it's great when we have those kind of players to just give to and know we can make a play with any of our skill guys. So it's great.
That's really cool. You don't, I'm sure other high schools do it, but I just haven't heard about it. But you always read in the NFL, like quarterbacks that take their linemen out once a week for dinner. And it's both a way to say thanks, and it's also a way to keep a bond. And the fact you and Maddox do that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it also helps when they're great linemen and they're great people, and it's really fun hanging out with them too. So that also helps too.
Now all this talk about how selfless this team is, maybe this isn't the right question to ask you, but just talk a little bit. You've had such a great season. You've been one of the underrated players in the league too, and you're number two in rushing behind Hector Lopez. You have 916 yards. If you can get back in a chance for a 1,000-yard season, you are certainly headed that way, but no matter what happens from here on in, and hopefully we're going to see you back on the field, but you personally have to be really happy with the contribution you've made to the team's success.
If I'm going to be honest, I think anyone with this line could, I think anyone on our team could rush for 1,000 yards with this line. I think we have the best line in the state. Our guys are just so awesome. And it's great when you have, you know, Adrian, Peter, Henry, Connor Furman, and then you even got like the guys who step in from time to time, like Grant Hickey, Spencer Schaefer. And then also we incorporated like Jake Valente and Alex Vetterly, and they've just been so great. And I'm just really glad that I could run behind this kind of line.
Sean, I'll let you jump in.
Henry, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So I love the fact you get the linemen together. Be honest now, would they get together if food was not involved? Like hey, we're just going to watch a movie. How many would come?
It would be a pretty empty house, that's for sure. if there's no food involved, it's kind of... Yeah.
What are you serving? Because I want to come to the next one.
Oh, I always get the Chinese food out. That's my thing.
Ching's?
Yes, Ching's. That's where I go.
You got to go to Ching's in New Canaan.
Ching's is the place to be for sure.
Sean, I know what you want to ask, and this will be a good place to segue, and I know what the answer is going to be. But, Sean, do you go on TikTok much?
The only thing, I go on X, and it's only during high school football season. And I'm on Instagram. My wife's on TikTok, though.
Okay, well, you're going to have to look up. You got to look up what Henry does, and we'll go there for a bit. But I'll let you ask the question, even though I know the answer.
Yeah. So, Henry, what would you rather have? Would you rather score a touchdown or have a video hit a million likes or a million views?
I'm going to have to go with the score a touchdown. A million likes that comes and goes. The touchdowns, they. they're a little more scarce.
Henry, I got to, you know, I looked at a couple, and we've talked about maybe collaborating on some things after the season, but I actually watched, really watched a few of them yesterday, and I mean, one of them, just because I saw the pizza box where it was from, had to be on the bus ride coming back from Staples. But how do you get these ideas? They're really creative. You integrate your teammates. Some of them take place by your locker room. Yeah, I saw the one on the bus ride home. Again, I'm guessing from Staples. But how did this all come about, and why does everybody in Fairfield County know about you?
To be honest, I got lucky. I like making just funny TikToks. Originally, there was a cringy TikTok I made singing to a song that's usually towards the female gaze, and I made a TikTok with that, and it blew up, and it had some of my teammates in it. So I was like, why not do it again? And then it went viral again. So I was like, why not incorporate more of my teammates? And all the guys on the team, I think they love, they kind of bully me for it a little bit, but I think they secretly love being in the TikToks.
I was sort of surprised some of the players who were involved, who I wouldn't have guessed would want to do it, but is this just something that you really, you obviously are comfortable being on camera and throwing yourself out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about just really not caring what other people think. You just kind of like, it's same thing in a game. It's like after that one play, I'm just not nervous anymore. Just like after that one post on TikTok where I kind of embarrassed myself, you know, I don't really care anymore. It's just all for fun, you know. I like doing it. It makes me feel good. So that's why I do it.
I mean, I know I've seen a little bit on social media teams knocking you because kids just like to be mean, but do you ever hear anything from opponents on the football field about it?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's not usually that bad. I remember I was in Trumbull and I was blocking this kid, and he started singing a song that I was in. He's like, "I love your videos," and I'm like, "All right, dude." And same thing. Whenever I'm like high fiving the guys after a game, they'll some guys will say that. So it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. That's it.
And that kind of ties in also. I met with you recently and asked you if you're going to play football at the next level, which you certainly have the ability to do. And I'll let you tell everybody what your answer was.
I really want to go to a film school. I want to study film. And the main goal is to be like an executive or a producer of some sorts. So I'm really focusing on like schools with a film interest. So that's what I'm. So it's football and college is. I want to do it a lot. That's why I'm looking at a certain school that has a great film program. But it can be hard to mesh.
Well, since unfortunately you're not going to play, can I get you on my TikTok post something before the game on Tuesday night?
I don't mean
anything creative. I don't need you to sing or dance, just to maybe give a thought on the game or something.
We'll
discuss it.
See about that.
We'll discuss it. We'll make sure coach is okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't need an elaborate production. I just need like 15 seconds of keys to the game or something. But hey, Henry, I think it's apparent to everybody now, besides just being a good football player and guy, why I wanted to have you on. And certainly a great personality in the league, and from a media standpoint, we love having guys like you. So congrats on what you've done. I really, really hope we're going to see you on the field before it's all done. And thanks for taking some time here to talk with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Okay, great. Thanks, Henry.
Have a good one.
That was New Canaan's Henry Stein. We're going to take a final break, and then Sean and I will bounce around the last two games. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back. And Sean, the two divisions we haven't discussed, and FCAC teams stand alone and are going to be prohibitive favorites in both games. And Double M, we've got Wilton Torrington, and boy, that's a tough spot for Torrington.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think this is going to be, I think they're going to win easily. I do. I think Wilton, they're rested. You know, they haven't played. They didn't have to play on Thursday, so I think that gives them another advantage. But I think Wilton wins this one easily.
Yeah, you pointed out Wilton has a big edge in terms of being able to rest, be able to, you know, get some injuries that they may have healed up, and I think people don't realize at this time of year, coming off a short week, how big an advantage that is. They can kind of have a normal week's practice leading up to the game. And they got to be another, just as we talked about Ludlow from a passing standpoint being difficult to prepare for, Wilton's running game and you know, the option offense and Calabrese and Dustin, they got to be a difficult team to prepare for as well.
Yeah, the option is never fun to prepare because 10 guys could do the play. They could play the perfect defense, and one guy makes one little mistake, and next thing you know, it's a 60-yard touchdown run. So it's very hard to prepare for. The main reason is the scout team, they can't replicate the speed. They can't replicate the timing. So it's going to take, you know, it's going to take Torrington a little bit of time just to get used to the game speed of the option. And by the time they get used to it, it might be too late already.
Now, we've talked about some of the easier roads that schools have. You look, if form holds, Wilton could be looking at a very solid Bunnell team, which I saw against New Canaan, and has some running backs that have breakaway speed in the semifinals. And if form continues to hold, how great would a Windsor-Wilton state championship game be?
That would be good. That would be good. You know, they would have to get through Bunnell first, you know. So if Wilton wins the Double M, they're definitely it's definitely going to be well-deserved, put it that way, because, you know, they're going to have, assuming Bunnell wins, assuming Windsor wins, you know, that's a tough group to go through.
And then over in M, you know, it's probably follow the yellow brick road for St. Joseph also. They've got WCA. That should not be a competitive game. And then they're looking at Guilford Brookfield, the winner in the semifinals.
No, I know Berlin's undefeated, I think. I'm pretty sure they are, but I don't know much about them. But I think St. Joe's rolls right through this bracket.
Yeah, Berlin would be the one team that, and they're on the other side of the bracket, so that would be a meeting in the state final. They're undefeated. They've had a really good season. No real common opponents to look at, but they've rolled through their schedule. And again, not knowing much at all about them right now, that would be the only team that I could really see giving St. Joseph any trouble. And I don't even know if they're capable of doing that.
Yeah, I think St. Joseph's rolls. I just think they're that good. I really do. I think you could put St. Joe's in the Double L and they could win the Double L. I think you could put St. Joe's in L. You can make the argument that they can win L. I think St. Joe's is that good of a football team.
I don't disagree with you. Looking big picture, are we going to have four FCAC state championships in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Ooh, that wasn't even any hesitancy.
Yes. I think we will. The toughest one, I think, is going to be in Double M. I think Wilton Windsor, that's going to be the tough one. But I think Wilton pulls it off.
That would be the toughest game probably. I'll be surprised if New Canaan and St. Joseph don't win titles. You know, Greenwich, they could play prep in the semifinals. They beat them already. And then they could be looking at New Britain or Southington probably in the final. And again, the one thing, and Tony Morello talked about it before Thanksgiving, and it would be the one concern, is they just got to stop beating themselves with penalties. That would be the one factor that I could, you know, really see hurting them. But if they execute the way they should win double L.
Yeah, I think they're going to win double L, but they got to stop shooting themselves in the foot, especially in big situations. But I think Greenwich, I don't think it's an easy path, but I think they take down the double L.
Yeah, I would say if form holds, Greenwich probably the second most difficult, with a Windsor Wilton game being probably the most difficult for an FCAC team. Let's take Ludlow Cheshire out of the picture in terms of that's the game. The FCAC has the best chance of an, if you want to call it an upset or a lower seed team winning, or just like looking at what a line would be on the game. Could you see what's the team that you think has the next best chance of winning?
As a lower seed?
As a lower seed.
Well, the only two are Richfield and Danbury, and I would just have to go, I'm going to go with Richfield just because they just beat Danbury.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one, too. And it's going to be a tall order, but we're going to probably definitely have four games to talk about next Sunday. With the semifinals will be Sunday with a 12:30 kickoff for everything. But Sean, a good show as always. Thanks a lot, and I guess we'll do this again next week.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to thank our guests, Ryan Gately of Darien, Henry Stein of New Canaan. I want to thank Isabella and the production seat over there. And have a good week, everybody. And we'll have a review and preview for you next Sunday on Sunday Morning Quarterback, which is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fast food served fast. Fine food served fast. Excuse me about that. Have a good week, everybody.